Take your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Boys, we sang that song. You old timers, who did you think about when you heard Living by Faith? Lester Roloff, yes, sir. I got to tell a funny story. I was with Brother Hiles, and I've heard him tell it in the pulpit, but he said, Lester used to get on me about the way I eat. He said, Brother Jack, the way you eat, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to go to an early grave. He said, Brother Lester, the way you fly, you're going to an early grave. Brother Hiles was right. Oh, my soul. Oh, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start reading in verse number 19. And I hate doing this to you, but we're going to read the rest of the chapter. So for some of you, you're going to get your daily Bible reading in. You'll get your half chapter in. All right, here we go. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? That's the statement I want you to get tonight, but we're going to continue. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, look at me. Keep your Bible open. If you mark in your Bibles, you're going to need your pen tonight, because I want to show you some things. I have saved this to near the end of our series on purpose. I think this is week number 19 on Lessons on Faith. Next week will be week 20, and I believe it'll be the last week. Maybe we'll go one more, but I have at least one more, if not that being the last, one more after that. But tonight, here we go. It's called Not Having Little Faith. Not having little faith. We read in verse number 30, O ye of little faith. Now, I want you to pay attention for a moment here. We Christians need to never forget that we're still sinners. You know, it's pretty easy sometimes, knowing you've been forgiven, that you forget you still have a sin nature. Just because we're saved and we're on our way to heaven does not mean we do not battle our sin nature. How many of you know what I'm talking about, all right? We still battle it. Our sinful nature, even as a Christian, can hinder our faith. Now, since the fall of man, man has struggled with, this has been the big battle. Do I trust myself or do I trust God? That's what the big battle really is. Do I depend on what God said, or do I become my own God and do what I want to do? Is that not what man was tempted with? Eve, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt not surely die. And you can be as gods, knowing good and evil for yourself. Wow. So, once man did sin, he chose to be his own God, which meant he chose right and wrong, good and evil, for himself. And the battle, even as a Christian, we fight is, are we going to obey that book, or are we going to obey this? Are we going to do what we want, or will we do what God wants? Now, I hate to tell you this, even after you get saved, you still have a sinful nature. You still have a sinful nature. Though you have a reborn spirit, you still have an old nature that battles a spiritual now nature that you have. So the battle of the flesh over the spirit is, do I trust myself or do I trust God? You see, when you battle your flesh, you're saying, this is what I want. When you live in the spirit, you say, this is what God wants. That's how simple it is. But boy, how hard that is to live, isn't it? How many times do we say, well, I think this is what I want. It doesn't matter what you want. What does God say? And there's a lot of things I want. There are. If I sat down, I could probably find a list of things I could want. I don't think about things I want. I want to do what God wants. Now, here we go. Here in Matthew 7, Matthew 7 is part of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus. It starts all the way back in chapter 5, verse number 1, and we won't go all the way back there, but chapter 7 is still part of this sermon that Jesus was preaching on the Mount. And in it is this section that we're going to draw out tonight that I want to help you with. He talks here about trusting riches. He talks about trusting our own abilities, what we eat, what we drink, our clothing. And then he says, oh, ye of little faith. It's interesting. He talks about our treasures, verse number 19. Talks about 19 through 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Folks, you show me your checkbook and I'll show you what you love. Plain and simple. You show me what you spend your money on, I'll tell you what you love. It's that simple. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having a good time here. It's really quiet tonight. God talks about even our jobs. He says, no man can serve two masters. Do you work for money? Do you work for God? Are you putting all of your focus just on making a living, or are you living for God and your living fits into that? And then he talks about having food and raiment and clothing and having drink. And he goes on and on and on and on about it. And have you ever noticed that, and I made this statement to somebody today, and it's interesting. Have you ever noticed that most people think that faith is to get things? Oh, I'm living by faith. I need a new suit, so I'm going to ask God by faith that I need a new suit. That's not living by faith. You might need a new suit. I hate to tell you, but that's not a test of your faith. Let me show you what I mean here. The Pentecostals have turned faith into rubbing the bottle and the genie popping out, giving you what you asked for. That is not faith. Now, listen to me very carefully. We have turned faith into the power of positive thinking so that if we think it enough, we'll get it. Did you know God even tells us what the power of positive thinkers were going to say? Look at verse number 17. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? Okay, that was written for you. I'd like to be a foot and a half taller. So I'm going to think that I could be taller. Is it going to add any tallness to you? Not a bit. Not one little bit. You know, I could think that I'm going to end up being 6 foot tall when I get older. It's not going to happen. I might be 6 foot around, but I'm not going to be 6 foot tall. Now, wait a minute. Too many of us, God's talking here. That's the power of positive thinkers. Well, you just got to believe and it's going to happen. That's what most people call living by faith. The Pentecostals and all these charismatics have turned faith into positive belief. Oh, you believe it enough, God will do it for you. Well, I happen to know in the Old Testament, God told the Jews, I'll give you your request, but I'm going to send leanness to your soul. I may even give you what you want, even though what you want isn't what I want you to have. Because when you get what you want, you'll find out it wasn't what you wanted. Everybody doing all right? That was a lot of double talk, but here we go. The focus on faith today has become our needs and not God. What I need, what I want, what I think I want, what I think I need, and it's God defines faith in Hebrews 11, 1-4 for us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Now watch this. The focus of faith is not to be on what we need or what we want. Faith's focus is to be on our obedience and let God do what we cannot do on our own. Period. Let me ask you a question. If I got up in this pulpit Sunday morning and said, folks, you've got to get saved by grace. But the only way to prove that is you have to change your life so that we know you got saved. Is that salvation by grace? Yes or no? Okay, that was like Methodist. Was that salvation by grace or is that salvation by works? Works. So, well, I said you got to get saved by grace. Yeah, but you said you got to prove it by works. I got too many people out there judging everybody's motive. God said, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now watch this. What if I said, though, well, you've got a $100 water sewer bill that's due next week, and you're going to have to live by faith. You give that $100 to God and let him bring in the rest. That's stupid. I know a lot of preachers that preach that. Can I tell you something? I don't believe you're supposed to tithe, listen to this, in an effort to get more things from God. But whether you do it to get more things from God or just because you're supposed to do it, either way you're supposed to do it. I do know this, if you do tithe, God will pour out a blessing from heaven and will withhold the destroyer. He already said that. So I know he'll give a blessing. It does not mean God will give you everything you gave to him back. It doesn't say I will pour out a blessing as big as you gave me. He just said I will pour out a blessing upon you and I will withhold the destroyer. Wow. Now, you can say what you want. I really believe it's hard to outgive God. I don't know anybody yet that has, just so you know. For God so loved the world that he gave. Amen? I don't think anybody has ever outgiven God. But I don't care if you gave $100,000 to the church last year. Nobody did, by the way, so don't worry about it. But if you did, may I say this, I can't promise you that God's going to give you $100,000 this year. I will promise you, though, that if it was your tithe, he is going to pour out a blessing on you. He will withhold the destroyer from you. That much I can guarantee you. Now, listen to me very carefully here. It's not spiritualized power of positive thinking. Faith is not spiritualized power of positive thinking. It's not blind belief. Brother Brining, I'm going to have you hold me to this. As long as I have some sanity right here, I will never get up and say, we're going to have a give it all Sunday. You give your entire paycheck to God and live by faith for the rest. I'm not telling you that that is sinful. I don't believe it's sinful, but I don't see much wisdom in it. Some of you live paycheck to paycheck, and some of you, we would be asking your creditors and your mortgage company and the power company and the water company and the sewer company to live by faith and give it to the church, and that's not right. Sorry. Now, I'm not saying a church that does it is wrong. I just believe that your personal finances, you need to be obedient in all areas of it. Everybody doing all right? Now, if you are able to give an entire paycheck one time, great, have at it. I think it's fun to do every once in a while. But may I say this? Not everybody can. Not everybody can. Why make somebody feel like they have to and then they get turned inside out, upside down financially? Well, bless God, I gave everything I had to God. God didn't come through. And God says, I gave you the money to pay your bills, and you gave it to the church. Well, I did it by faith. There's a fine line between faith and foolish, amen? Now, everybody doing all right? Here we go. Here in Matthew 7, also Luke chapter 12, you have the same recorded story. God gives us a very clear path for faith. We don't have to be guilty of having little faith. I'm going to show you what that term means here in a minute, and it's not what you think it is. I want big faith. I want great faith. I want the kind of faith that God wants me to have. Now, when God says little faith, he's not talking about an amount. He's not talking about, well, I got a little money. I have just a little. He's not talking about a quantity of faith. God hath given to every man the measure of faith. So we all had enough faith to get saved. If you've got enough faith to get saved, what more faith do you need? Now it can grow, but I want to show you what this term means. Now, are you ready? Point number one, and I really think I'm going to get you out pretty early tonight, so hang in there. Little faith focuses on little things. Little faith focuses on little things. Look at your Bibles again. Look at verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all, what's the next two words? Okay, wait a minute, look at me. What are those things? Food, clothing, drink. Wow. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now watch this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all, what's the next two words? These things shall be added unto you. So the little things, little faith, focuses on little things. It's not faith in big things, it's faith in little things. I know Christians who worry more about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, and if they can pay the next bill to make the rent due. God said he'll help you take care of that. Guess what? I don't go out and buy new suits every week. My wife will tell you, about 90, well, other than the two suits the church bought me about a year ago or so, other than that, I think every other suit I have has either been given to me or I got at Goodwill. Seriously. Every one of them. when I get to where I think I'm going to need something, I say, okay, Lord, that's what I need. I'm going to get busy. I'm not going to worry about it. I don't remember. I could have, but I don't remember the last time we went out and I actually bought a suit for myself. It may have been about 20 years ago, but it's been decades. It's not been months, not been even a few years. I don't remember the last time I went out to go buy a brand new suit. Say, why? God takes care of that. I mean that. God takes care of that. The coat I have on, someone gave me. The pair of pants I have on were given to me. The shoes I have on were given to me. Matter of fact, I didn't even ask God for them. He just gave them to me. Now, let me show you what I mean here. Some of you ladies, if you don't have a new dress or a new outfit about every 6 weeks, your faith starts waning. Careful now. Maybe it is that we've got our faith in the wrong. Did you know? That's a little thing to God. In God's economy, that's not even a penny. So clothing is very little to God. Don't worry, fellas. I won't embarrass you by my physique without my coat on, all right? Now, I got to put it on to cover the bulges, all right? Now, did you know that food is little to God? Did you know where you're going to get your next meal is little to God? Now, I know it's big to you. Some of them, it's even really big. But did you know not many people would die if they missed one meal? Man, I'm having fun right now. Did you know? Okay, everybody doing all right? Listen to this one real carefully here. Did you know that you don't have to go to Sheetz every day and buy a $2 coffee or Dunkin' Donuts and buy a $3 cup of coffee every day and then say, I don't have the money to pay my bill this month? You spend $100 in coffee a month. Now, if you have the money to do it, go for it. I'm not against it. Everybody doing okay? But don't you complain to God because you can't stop at Dunkin' Donuts and spend $6, $7 every morning for coffee and donuts and whatever and say, well, God just doesn't love me no more. Did you know water's cheap? Matter of fact, in most cases, it's free. Now, I say that to say this. Yeah, I stop and get coffee just about every day. But I didn't do it for about the first 23, 24 years my wife and I were married. Everybody doing all right? And I didn't yesterday. I stayed home, started working, and she made coffee at home, and I drank it at home, no problem. Matter of fact, she went out, took my daughter to work, and I was sick yesterday. She bought me a Dunkin' Donut coffee. God bless her. She ordered two mediums. She got to the window. The lady said, oops, we made a mistake. We gave you two larges, but we'll honor and charge you for two mediums. She was so excited. She got home. I looked at it and thought, I don't even want coffee right now. She said, you are sick. So she said, what do? I said, leave it on the counter. I'll get it tomorrow, and I'll drink it tomorrow. So this morning, got up, threw it in the microwave, got that thing boiling hot, and I drank it this morning. I got to work after about a half hour or so, texted my wife and said, thanks for my coffee you got me yesterday. Now, wait a minute. She did try to make me feel better. She did, just not when she thought I was going to feel better. Now, wait a minute. Drink is very little to God. Food, clothing. Don't get mad at me on this one. Having money in the bank and a high-paying job is very little to God. Did you know God will take care of you? Did you know if you die with $1.98 in your checking account or you die with $1.9 million in your checking account? Either way, you're dead. Matter of fact, it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, how dieth the rich man as the poor? Death happeneth to us all. Famous people, rich people die, and beggars die. It's going to happen. We're all born the same way. We all die the same way. We come in with nothing, you're going to go out with nothing. You might have more with your name attached to it, but as soon as you quit breathing, guess what? Your name's not attached to it. It's Uncle Sam's. Can I tell you something? We worry too much about jobs. I think you ought to get a good job. I think you ought to work a job. I'm tired of a lazy generation. Good night. We got to get jobs. We got to work. I understand that. But folks, can I tell you something? Some of you are waiting for the perfect job. It's not there. Some of you, if you worked for yourself, you'd fire yourself. You'd complain about your boss, and you're the boss. Let's face it. A job is a job. Everybody doing all right? God did not say these things are not important. But he said they are little to him. Let me show you again. Look at verse number 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Don't you think God knows you need food? Now, he might not feed you filet mignon and Chateaubriand and all those other fancy things, but you're going to have food. You might not have Harth Schaffner and Mark suits. You might be wearing those fancy ones from JCPenney. Kmart. You might not be wearing the fanciest of suits, but can I tell you something? God's going to give you the clothes you need. Boy, that's good stuff. God knows you have need of those things. We think that's the biggest need we have. God says, oh no, there's much bigger things for you to need. God, who owns the universe. Dr. John Rice used to say it this way. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills underneath the cattle. He owns the gold under the hills in the cattle. And he owns the universe that the earth sits in. He owns it all. Don't you think God could, you could bum a few bucks for food from God? He already knows you need it. I don't mean to sound petty. You really don't have to ask a whole lot for those things because he already knows you need them. I really don't. I say, Lord, take care of our needs. I don't ask for clothes for myself. I don't ask for food and drink for me. Take care of my family? Yes. God already knows he's got to provide that. I have fun watching him do it. Every time one of those four-legged critters walks by, okay, Lord, provide, amen. Pow! Man, I might have to harvest it. I might have to do a lot of work to get to it. But he at least provided it. One of my boys, we were talking finances this year, and he said, Dad, this has been the best year for me making money. And he told me what he made. And I said, son, do you realize your mom and I raised you and your brother and your sister on that much money? There was five of us. He said, say what? He said, no wonder you were hunting all the time. I said, yeah, especially when you guys grazed like a bunch of cattle. I said, good night. I said, you're making more money now than I made after I had been in the ministry for about 10, 15 years. I said, you want to complain to me that you don't have anything? Get you a gun and some bullets and go shoot something, amen? Legally, that is. So, little faith focuses on little things. Food, raiment, drink, and even job is little to God. Savings, I'm for you have savings. I think we don't save enough in America. But may I say this? Some of us focus so much on that that we lose our faith. We've got faith in little things. Number two, and I'll hurry here. The rest of this will go faster. God gives us a guarantee how to get the things we need. Look at verse 33. Whole key to, oh, ye of little faith, is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look at me. Does that say could be added unto you? Does it say maybe added unto you? Does it say might be added unto you? What does it say? Shall be. So that sounds like, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved, shall be saved. That means God says, if you do this, this will happen. So the whole key comes down to two statements. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Can I tell you something? So many of us are seeking the kingdom of this world and not the kingdom of God. We won't run around, oh, I need a job. Oh, I need more money for groceries. Oh, I need money for this. Oh, I need money for that. Oh, wait a minute. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Before you make those big financial decisions, why don't you spend time with God and give God what he needs? You know, my wife and I don't launch out and do a bunch of big things financially just to go do them. Good night. I scrimped and saved, and I got an idea about 7-8 months ago. I was going to give my wife the biggest Christmas present I ever gave her, and it wasn't me gaining weight. But I decided I was going to give her a new kitchen, the money to do it however she wanted. Man, I started scrimping and saving. I sold one of my guns without her knowing. I got my daughter involved a little bit on it. She was working. I said, hey, you pay some of this, chick. I got her involved. And every little bit of money that I got myself for Christmas, I just threw into that thing. Well, I was able to hand her off the biggest wad of money she's ever had to do anything in our house ever. Man, we've been having fun. It's been the longest Christmas present she ever got, for sure. It's the middle of April. We're still not done, but we're almost there. Now, wait a minute. Listen to this very carefully. I did not do that without asking God first for the wherewithal to do it. Never stopped tithing. Never stopped giving offerings. Never stopped helping other people. I kept doing what I was supposed to do. Kept soul winning. Kept walking with God. Kept begging God for the money to give her what I wanted her to have. I had an amount, and I got just a little more than that. Guess what? God blessed it. But I didn't stop doing everything else to do that. You know, there are people in this room and in our church. My wife and I pulled out of our account to help you. You didn't know that. Didn't matter. I didn't take it from that. I just kept doing what I normally do. Let God take care of the rest. Man, is it fun? Let me tell you. Now, seek ye first. That means, how's your walk with God? I didn't just go out on a whim and say, bless God, I'm going to do this. God, like it or lump it, here it goes. Oh, no, 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 no. I kept walking with God. I kept yielding to the Holy Spirit. I kept soul winning. I kept counseling. I kept helping people. I kept visiting. I kept doing all the things I was doing. Matter of fact, I tried to do a little more because I felt like she deserved a little more. And God blessed that. So God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm going to make a statement here. These Pentecostals that run around, oh, you got to live by faith, got to live by faith. Can I tell you something? They're living for this world, not by faith. They're looking for the things that are here, not there. I'd rather have the relationship with my God than the things here on earth. I don't need a new suit. I'll get to live with him for eternity. some of you can't even fit into the last suit God gave you. That's why I needed new ones. No, I mean, we've all got those expansion programs. I understand that. Can I tell you something? Some of you are so concerned about what you're wearing or what you're going to eat next. There's been times if my wife and I had more than two things on a plate, two different things, we thought we were in hog heaven. Matter of fact, my kids didn't know you could eat more than two or three things at a meal at one time for a while. Say, what was that? That's what God gave us to eat. It's okay. None of us are hurting real bad. This means we first seek what God wants and what God needs. Then we work. Then God provides our needs. Here's the problem. Well, this is what I want, God. This is what I want. And we quit doing what we're supposed to do. Or watch this. Well, I did go soul winning. I did do this. And God didn't give me what I want. Here's the problem. You want. What you want. Didn't say what God wanted. I don't know about you. When I ask for things, I say, God, this is what I want. But if you want me to have something different, it'll be okay. I'll take what you give me. When I do that, I often find out he gives me more than I thought I could ever get. I don't worry about what I want as much. You say, what is that? I want what God wants because that's of his kingdom. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Doesn't say he's going to supply or fulfill your need. He said he's going to give you the actual need based on what he has to give you to fill it. He's actually going to give you a need. Not fulfill the need, but he's going to give you the need because he has the wherewithal to supply it. And I hate to tell you this, so many of us settle for far less. Well, this is what I want to get out of it, God. And he says, that's all? Oh, you have little faith. I got a whole lot more to give you. But if that's all you want, okay, here you go. I wonder how many things we've cheated ourselves out of. Here we go. Because God knows better what we need if we just do his work, his way, God will care for us better than we can do on our own. Then, the Bible says, we also need to seek God's righteousness. Look at it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. His righteousness. Now, here's an important fact. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. We're all sinners. We all need God's righteousness. Matter of fact, if you went to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, the Bible talks about, for I bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Salvation is an act of you saying, my righteousness is not good enough to get me there. I can't do that. I'll quit yielding to my righteousness and I'll submit to the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, what he did for us and the righteousness that he lived. God imputes that to our life. That is salvation. Salvation, by the way, that's what repentance is. It's not turning from your sin. It's turning from your righteousness to the righteousness of God. It's saying, I cannot be righteous enough to get it. Therefore, I'll take your righteousness. Just put it on my account. Because I can't get there. I've been trying all these years and it doesn't work. Now, here we go. Take your Bible, turn to one other verse here. Romans chapter 1. And I got to hurry. Look at verse number 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, watch this, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Look at me. This is going to be fun. Brother Barnes, can you come up here for just a second? I'm going to use you. Yeah, you, the old one, bold one. Guy with a marble top. Actually, it's for Micah. All right, now, here's Brother Barnes. He's a lost sinner. Boy, does he play that part. No, he gets saved. Now, watch this. He was given faith because he was born a human being. God hath given to every man the measure of faith. God gave Evan Barnes enough faith to get saved, correct? Matter of fact, he doesn't even get saved by his faith. According to Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 3, we're not justified by our faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So God even gave you the faith it took to get saved. Can I tell you how free salvation is? You don't even have the faith to get it. God gave you the faith to get it. So he uses that faith, he gets saved. Now watch this. But Brother Barnes starts growing and growing and growing. Oh, I'm sorry. He starts growing in the Lord. And he starts living his faith. Now watch this. It's not his faith that got him saved, but watch this, Romans chapter 1, from faith to faith. He took the faith that he used to get saved, now he's investing in it, he's learning of the righteousness of God, and he's going out and telling others about Christ. He's going out and preaching junior church, and he's helping in Sunday school, and he's doing the PA for us, and he's doing all these different things. And his faith is increasing. That's called from faith to faith. You take the faith that you had to get saved, and it increases as you begin to live the righteousness of God, and the faith that it took to get you saved starts growing and growing and growing and growing. It doesn't mean he's got more salvation. It means his faith is growing. Thank you, Brother Barnes. That's what from faith to faith means. You take that faith that it took to get saved, start investing it, and you start investing in the righteousness of God. You start reading your Bible. You start praying. You start soul winning. You start tithing. You start obeying God. Start telling others about him, and you start worshiping him in private. I get sick and tired. Well, we need a public worship service. No, notice out front says church and preaching. Amen. No public worship in the Bible. Church is not a place of worship. We'll get to that some other time. Here we go. So, that means you start getting others to seek the righteousness of God. Can I tell you, when you start really growing as a Christian, when you start soul winning, your faith starts increasing. You know, the more people I win to Christ, the more people I see get saved, the stronger my faith gets. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. Remember the first time you found out you were expecting a little Nino? Man, you were scared to death. Remember the first time you put one in the car to take it home from the hospital? I mean, you were in white knuckling. If a guy stopped 50 feet in front of you too fast, you had to, good man. Now, you throw him in, slap that puppy in, and you're screaming and holler at him the whole way. It don't matter. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, been there. Seeking others to get God's righteousness becomes your focus. Watch this. That increases your faith. When you're more concerned about somebody else getting saved than when your next meal is, where are you going to get your next dress or your next suit or your next tie, and you start concerning yourself with the righteousness of God, life comes a whole lot different. Let me finish. Let's live in the spirit, not in the flesh. When we look at the little things, we have little faith. We're living in the flesh. I'm not saying that you don't have needs. God knows you have needs. God knows you need to eat. God knows you need to have clothes on. God knows you need a place to live. God knows you got to have enough to drink. God knows that. And he said, I'll take care of those things, but seek me first and my righteousness, and I'll give these things unto you. So many times we're asking God for those things, and we're so busy asking for the things that we quit doing what God wants us to do. How many times do people stop going to church? They stop soul winning. They stop reading their Bible. They stop praying. They stop walking with God. They stop doing those things. And they're so focused on what they need. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm not saying you should have a zero account in your bank. I am saying this. If that's all you live for is your bank account, you're going to be lacking in your faith. Donald Trump lacks in faith. He's just concerned about the next building and the next $1 billion he wants to make. So, when we live in the Spirit, we focus what God needs and trust Him to care for what we need. When man was in Eden before the fall, he never looked at what he needed. Did you ever notice Adam never asked God for a wife? Adam didn't say, God, I need somebody. He had God. God looked at Adam and said, boy, you need somebody real bad. We men think we're independent. Shoot, women can live far better without us than we could without them. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. A lady was given to the man, but man did not go looking for it. Man was busy doing the work God gave him to do. And God says, I got something for you, man. Say, where did she get her name? Because he woke up and said, whoa, man. That ain't like what I thought. Now, wait a minute. We think we have great faith when we've prayed down a suit from God. We think we've had great faith when we got an electric bill paid. We thought we had great faith when we prayed down a car payment. No, those are little things to God. You just keep doing, seeking after God's righteousness, seek His kingdom, and then watch what He does. By the way, it doesn't mean everything goes rosy. I didn't say there weren't going to be bumps along the way, because the devil hates that. But as your faith increases from faith to faith, can I tell you something? It's a fun way to live. It's a fun way to live. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. The nobleman's son came to Jesus and said, would you heal my son? He said, well, where is he? He said, I didn't bring him. I came without him. He's so sick. I need you to heal him. And I didn't have time to bring him. And I don't think he would have made the trip. And he said, I have never seen so great faith in Israel. He was willing to go without what he needed to get what his son needed. He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about somebody else.